seriously that I'm glad to see the young people come in, like Daryl, and I had a chance to meet a young president of the corporation in King Cove, Ricky Coso. He was followed by another youngster, actually, Harvey Mack. And I'm glad to see that for one reason, because the village elders, I mentioned to Jim that I think their worth and value is in the traditional things. You know, they have the language, they have the arts. But yet we're expecting to compete as a business with outside interests, and that's where the young people come in and really have a good hold, and I think that's what can move a corporation, whether it's a village corporation or a regional corporation.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Mike. You were born in King Cove and then went away.
Sure. Left King Cove when I was about 5. I had lost track of my family during these many years, and I guess that was kind of intentional as far as being an adopted child. But I left King Cove when I was 5, just shortly after the war. Grew up in Missouri, went through the rigors of a certain amount of prejudice, I guess. Skin was a different color back. You got to remember, back in the 50s, prejudice was still pretty popular then, and especially in the Midwest country. And it was a slow evolution. I felt prejudice when I was, by simply being a different features, growing up through grade school. And then in high school, that kind of stopped, and I didn't know how to handle that. I thought that was unique. I think at that age, kids tend to accept you for what you are rather than what you look like. So, but I spent those years in Missouri, basically in a farming country. And shortly after high school, I enlisted in the Air Force. And I just finished a 25-year career with the Air Force. Most of that was overseas. And I'm very vocal when it comes to people criticizing various things in the United States, because I say, well, compare it with something else, and they really can't. So it's a one-sided criticism as far as I'm concerned. I've had a chance to see poor people and poor nations, Vietnam, Thailand, and those places, you know. So I tell them, count their blessings. They should, you know, because don't criticize. If you have experienced that, then I'll listen to you. But I think this gives me a different outlook. I'm not an activist by any means, but if people ask me, well, what do you think about the Native Corporation? I think, boy, it's great. I think the intention was great. It just hasn't worked.
You're now working for Lucian Pribilof's nonprofit regional association, are you?
Yes, it's the Aleut Corporation's nonprofit arm, the Lucian Pribilof Island Association. And under that, we're a department of the Lucian Housing Authority. And our primary reason for being created was to take advantage of the federal programs, primarily the HUD programs, and to provide housing for the Aleutian and the Pribilof Island region natives originally.
How long have you been doing this work?
Well, I'd like to say forever. I really enjoy it, but I've only been doing this since the end of May. Mm-hmm. So I'm just basically getting exposed to what the program is and how it runs. This is my first visit to Akutan. I've just recently visited the Pribilof Islands. We have homes there, St. George and St. Paul, King Cove on Alaska, Nikolsky I've yet to visit. So it's kind of a nice exposure to an old hometown mm-hmm. atmosphere, you know. This is my part of the country.
Anyway, sorry I interrupted you. You were saying the corporations were a great idea, but they haven't worked. Do you want to?
Sure.
Come on.
I think, with all that money, I think most people expected that there would be more out of it, and especially since half of it was set aside to set up corporations. People are not seeing any return from it. I don't need that return, the monetary return.
Are you a shareholder?
Yes, I am. I'm a shareholder at large in the Aleut Corporation. I was still in the Air Force when I signed up, so I was not able to. I had the choice, I guess, at the time of selecting either as a village corporation at large or various corporations, but I selected to be at large. And the dividends and the monetary settlement was, to me, nothing, and I'm sure it was the same thing to the various people. So then the land was the big issue, and whatever profits that the corporations, naturally you think of corporations, you think of a big business that's making money, and most people tend to equate that type, I guess, to Exxon or, you know, some big business that really has some money in shares, you know, returns. I haven't seen that, and I think I can probably understand it because of the struggle, why there isn't a great return. You know, I have limited knowledge of the other regional corporations, except what I read in the papers. For instance, Sea Alaska, I understand that their worth or their total assets are somewhere around $500 million. And yet I talked to Mike, who's in King Cove, by marriage, they're in Sea Alaska Corporation. And it's dismaying to me that they can't wait until 1991 so they can sell their shares. That's what their shares mean to them. It's nothing. They have gotten nothing through the years from it. So they look at a piece of paper. It's 100 shares of what? When they sell it, they can get some monetary gain. It's an immediate thing for them, and I don't think they think about the future of their children or whatever, you know, when they're thinking that way. I'm disappointed, I guess, that the Aleut Corporation, it to me, it seems like there is more here than what we have taken advantage of. It seems to be a rich area, and I'm not sure whether to blame it on management or where the blame is or if there is any blame. You know, they always say there's two sides to every issue. You run it if you think you can do better, you know, that type of thing. And it's certainly not criticism. It's never developed into what I believe that I or other people have thought it might be, you know. A corporation is supposed to perpetuate itself and supply funds for the region. And I don't think it's ever attained that. My concern is I'm not that interested whether a company comes in and takes over the Aleut Corporation per se, because it's never developed into those type of things that I think it should provide for us. But my concern is the land that's attached with it. And I think I'd mentioned either to Jim or Daryl and I were talking that I think that the only way to probably protect that land, which is valuable, and I don't think any corporation should have access to it and should be able to take it over by whatever means, is to separate the two, perhaps somewhere, put that land aside so it can't be obtained by an outside interest. And I certainly don't know how that's done or if it's even legal to do that. But if somebody was to ask me, well, would you sell your shares in the Aleut Corporation? I would probably say, what are you going to offer, you know? I don't know. I have got very little out of the corporation. In my particular situation, with being retired and everything, and then with a follow-on career, the money is not the big thing to me, but to many of the people in the region, money is very important. This is a very poor village. I don't know if you know that, but it's very seasonal, and those type of things, those dividends would really help these people, but so far we haven't attained that. That's kind of a nutshell of Mike Wilson's opinion of the evolution of the Aleut Corporation to where we stand today.
How is, if you're able to say, what's your impression of how the Aleutian Pribilofs, the nonprofit, is doing?
Concept is tremendous. I think we have a publicity problem. Publicity meaning that our people don't know why we're there and what services we provide. And I find that throughout Alaska with whatever is being done, that you don't have a program unless you sell it. I don't think the program, you know, our APIA was ever really sold. But I think our current management is aware of that, I think when the staff goes to the field that they come back and we talk about this. And you have to start someplace, and I think our start is to republicize what we are, what we do, and where we are, and what we're available, you know, to make people know what we're there for. Perhaps that wasn't done in the past, perhaps it was, you know. People remember only what they, basically what they want to remember. You may tell them today that I'm APIA and I have these services for you, and 3 months later they still wonder who APIA is. Have to continue to be visible. Well, I think we're pretty well restricted, and it makes our job even tougher, is not necessarily being in Anchorage, but the sheer vastness of our region, and then the expense of traveling to and from, for instance, chartering into Akutan here. Those things all contribute certainly to separation and people not knowing who we are or what we do. The concept is great. I think it's great. Matter of fact, until I was actually associated with APIA, I had no knowledge of who they were. That's how limited the publicity on it was. So it's a steady selling program. If you offer services, you have to make sure people are aware that you have those services. But I think we're coming there gradually.
You operate out of Anchorage?
Yes.
How many people work for APIA?
I'm going to give you an estimated guess. Right in Anchorage, the core staff, I'd say 20 or 25. Now then there are other type of reps in the villages which are paid through APIA. And that I wouldn't venture to say. See how limited I am even as a new person there.
Anything you think we should ask Mike and Mary?
Well, I'll remind you that we met some of the other APIA staff, Tammy Stuckey, remember? And in almost every village that I've been to, I've met one or two people who are directly involved with APIA. What you talked before about, you know, people wanting to get something out of all this and the likelihood or the possibility that people would sell their shares. All right. If people sold their shares here, what do you think would, how do you think the money would be used? Would people stay? Would they leave? Just as much as you feel that you can. Yes.
Sure, I can give you an opinion on that. I think you can't expect people, let's go back to very basics. You can't, and it has to deal also, what I'm going to say, with the very cause, I think, of our corporations. You cannot make business people out of us overnight. That's the basis, and that's probably the reason that our corporations have been up and down in trouble. We were not business people, but yet all of a sudden we had to be. Okay, now that may sound far-fetched, but back to your original question, I think you'll see a tie-in. What would the people do with the money? They would use it for food. They might go buy them a three-wheeler. I think my opinion of our people is that we're day-to-day people. Maybe we're not too far-sighted enough. So that money would be used to maybe make house payments, catch up on utility bills, buy groceries. When it's gone, and that's it. It's here, I've got it, I can spend it. It's worth something. The piece of paper wasn't. It provided, a temporary ease of problems, temporary pleasure or whatever. It's like people in Fourth Avenue on Anchorage, whatever person they are. It's great to have the money. They'll hawk their ring to get that temporary pleasure or that temporary satisfaction. And I'm certainly not equating everybody to that category. But I think the very region itself supports that, exactly what I'm saying. Things are so seasonal here. Your money comes at one time, not as a steady income as we know it, from month to month or week to week where you've got a set wage. You may get, for instance, vacations are taken in King Cove after the fishing season because everybody has their money. That's when they come out and shop. So for 3 months, everything is great. and then they barely make it for the next 9 months until fishing season rolls around. And I think the whole economy, your whole line of thinking is geared that way. I've got the money now, it's great, and I won't worry about it later because I'll make do. But yes, the people would still stay here. It would just make them happy for a short period of time, and then it would pass, and then they'd go back to make and do as they could, I think.
Your particular work is in housing.
Yes.
You were saying that the houses that are built with HUD funds are, there's 16 of them in this village. And how much do people have to pay per month, did you say?
Okay, yes. They must pay, currently it fluctuates from year to year normally, and it goes up gradually. We have what we call an administrative fee. That takes care of actually the APIA staff, the Aleutian Housing Authority staff, which manages these programs, that is to go out, get funds to build them, to acquire the land, these type of, it's administrative service. That's a basic fee that HUD says a home buyer must pay. That is currently $110 a month. And then anything above that is based strictly on income, ability to pay. If they're able to pay more based on their income, then they do pay more by a formula that we use. But I think it's tremendous that for years that, you know, inside plumbing was never known, but yet when we go into these remote villages, put in these new houses, we also come in with water and sewer systems. So it's, if the village didn't have it, they do after we get the houses installed.
When you install new houses and sewers and so on, do you connect the rest of the village if it is unsewered?
No, and we can't because the funds were designated strictly for putting in those new houses that we go into. Now, if the village has existing water and sewer supplies, you know, then we don't have to necessarily go in, and it's quite a savings to us not to do that, to go in and put in sewer. But we haven't experienced that yet. Normally, when we add on, it's already to an overloaded system already, so we have to create new sewer and water probably.
How is the sewer system handled? I'm always curious about that in villages like this. What kind of a system do you set up?
Some type of septic system. King Cove, I think they call it a big Imhoff tank or that type. But most of them are septic systems.
John, did you want to ask
any
questions about housing
sales and changes? Just let me ask a couple more. So in this village, the average resident of the 16 HUD homes would have to put up how much a month to stay there?
They must pay the Aleutian Housing Authority, ultimately pay HUD at a minimum of $110 a month. Then they have to, on top of that, naturally, they pay their utilities.
Suppose they can't come up with $110 a month. Happens? Do they have to get out?
Those are pretty well governed set of rules, and it's a series of steps set strictly by HUD. They tell us how. We have some latitude. We have a board of commissioners that set rules on how we will collect payments, and then what happens in a sequence of events if they do not pay. We do everything we can to keep the home buyer in there through bad periods. Normally, you remind a person if they're late with a month payment, and then you give them a second reminder 2 months later. And in the meantime, you're trying to be in contact with the home buyer to get them to talk with you and find out what the problem is, the financial problem. And then we can work out partial payments also. We have that latitude, and we try that. We go through extensive means before we evict, and because they're not a tenant there, we consider them home buyers, you know. So we go through great lengths and up to months.
And how many, well, can you tell me about what percentage of those occupying HUD homes in this region have had to be told to leave and actually been removed?
I don't think that's, I think that's something that I could probably mention, and I'm going to give you a rough figure, and I'd say roughly 3 to 5%, even if that much. That's a very high figure, I think.
Mm-hmm. I had a question about housing now. I was talking with Jacob, and he was saying that the price of the house includes the price of the lot. So when homeowners complete the payments on the house, the $85,000 or $95,000, they also own the lot that the house is built on. Is that correct?
That's correct. We operate under what we call a HUD's program as a mutual help. Now, the mutual help is a program where a home buyer that can either contribute a certain amount of labor for building at home, materials, or land. Traditionally, we try to get the land, and that then becomes the mutual help contribution. And yes, those lots are normally 7,000 square foot or above. And I think you can understand why the land must be clear and free along with the house. If we hold a mortgage for 25 years, we certainly can't have somebody coming in 10 years and saying, well, my land is gone. So yes, the house and the lot are one.
You wanted to change the subject, Mary.
I was just going to ask, as an at-large member of the corporation, how has that worked for you, being an at-large member? Does that seem like a valid category of shareholders?
I'm not sure if I understand your question. I can tell you how it's worked for me. I can be just as involved as an at-large member as I could by being in a village corporation, I think. Maybe you could give me a little more insight on how you mean.
Well, many at-large members have testified that they feel they don't have a say in how things work, that they feel that they're not part of the system. Many of those people live in villages, and as not being a member of that local village corporation seems to cause some tension, and they expressed the feeling that they would like to be able to become a member of that village corporation to which, you know, which is attached to the village in which they now live. And I just wondered, as an at-large member, whether that has worked for you, being at-large, or whether you see some problems with that?
No, I think, and the main thing is that because I'm in the proximity of where all the meetings are held, so I still have that opportunity to attend everything, and I see no separation between me at large and whatever they classify another one as. I think what people are basically talking about when they're talking about not being involved in the corporation, again, is not knowing what the corporation's direction is, where it's going, and hearing corporation business. I had a chance last November to attend my very first Aleut Corporation meeting, and I was very disappointed. I expected to hear about finances, projects that were ongoing, these type of things. Perhaps I was over-optimistic about what I was going to hear, but I certainly didn't hear what I went there expecting to hear. I heard what I considered little trivial things about did we have an Aleut flag, and what were we going to call the Aleut League. It sounded like a baseball team. I heard these types of comments for the 2 days that I was there. I didn't hear what the corporation's business was, the direction was. I won't say disguised, it just wasn't addressed. And I think these people, something clicked in my mind when you said they felt they were not a part of or something. I think that may be a general feeling of the corporation members is, gee, I'm not sure where the corporation is going, because it doesn't come out in our newsletter. Very little. When they opened up Panama Marine Limited in Unalaska, you saw very little about that. And I hear very little about the corporation. And I think that we go back about, you know, what people feel about corporations. I think there again, publicity and what's going on, what's your corporation doing. I understand that boards of directors can't run a corporation by making every bit of business public, but yet I don't feel we get enough, and I criticize our corporation for that. I'm not sure if I eventually answered your question or not.
Yes, you did, although the people that I'm thinking of specifically mentioned that they're in a village which has, you know, a village corporation, and they, as at-large members, have no vote in that corporation, even though, you know, they're living in that town.
Well, I think that a lot of people, even if they had a vote, I'm not sure that they would utilize it. It's like a lot of people in politics, you know, are talking about the political parties. They talk, but when it comes time for the action, maybe they don't carry through. So I think you'd have to judge each one that you talk to on what he really means by that. You know, is it a specific problem? Is it just general that I can't vote? And if he had the choice, would he vote? Because we find a lot of that in the corporation level, where people are just signing a proxy and letting things go.
Well, thanks very much, Mike. Glad we ran into you. When are you? Are you heading back to Unalaska or something?
I'll probably go with you all.